How you guys doing today?
Woo!
You can always tell the days when it's like high excitement or you're struggling to be here. Either way, it's good you're here. Let's see. I had to get my notes pulled up. There we go. All right. Well, hey, we're going to dive into Scripture right away today, and then I will tell you a story maybe. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 22. We're going actually down to 33. So when you got it, say, I got it. All right, two people, then we're moving on. Should be on the screen. We good, Grant? Perfect. This is Jesus. So Jesus has fed the 5,000. He's performed a bunch of miracles already, and then he goes off to pray and then tells his disciples, hey, go on off without me, and I'll catch up. Get in the boat, go across. You ever had that? You ever been peopled out? I know you have because I talk to you all the time. And you get overwhelmed and you need a second. That's kind of what we get here. And that's where we'll pick up. And this is a pretty famous story. So whether you're church or not, I bet you've heard of this. Immediately, he, that's Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. All right, that's so far, so good. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves, because the wind was against him. There was a storm. Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. Stop. Now again, you read this, and one of two things are occurring. One, you've been church plenty, and you go, yep, he was, of course, he's walking on the sea. Or secondly, you read it like it's a story, you know, like Aesop's Fables, or some other story I can't think of right now, and you gloss over that. So I want to destroy any logical thought you have here. He was walking on water. Got that? Okay, good. Wake up, I'll throw a podium. I really have one down here that's throwable. Lost myself. Jesus came toward them walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Again, I think that's kind of rational. Remember, it's stormy. They probably don't see him clearly. No one's going to go, you know who that probably is? That's probably Jesus walking on the, right? If you see a boat, he might not have thought that. But they immediately go, there's a ghost. By the way, y'all superstitious too. There'd be a shadow on the road, and I know this because I've been around some of you. You're like, whoa, was that a wendigo? Like, your mind goes to crazy things. And they cried out in fear. That would be scary. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. They're scared. It's a storm. There's a ghost. Lord, if it's you, Peter answered him, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught a hold of him, and said to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? A lot of times we read that, and I know, depending on your past, you read it as like he's mad and disappointed. You faithless dog, right? That's not what he said. I don't think that's the tone. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you think I wouldn't come? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped. So not only did he walk on water, as soon as he got in the boat, the storm stopped. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. The majority of us, we'll come back to this. First of all, if you're a Christian in the room, you got to accept that there is no logical explanation for this. This happened. And it's really arrogant, even if you're not a Christian in the room. And by the way, you're like, Todd, why would you think that? There's people in this room that ain't Christian. You know it, I know it. You might be seeking, you might be interested, but you're not a Christian. That's okay, because God still loves you, right? He wants you to come to know him. He wants you to believe. But a lot of times, we have this tendency to want to skip the parts that are unexplainable, or make them small. And we do this even subconsciously, even the Christians in the room. You'll start to think, oh, Yeah, he walked on water. I'm going to skip past that part and get to the part where he's giving me tangible advice. But these moments that happen in the Bible are really, really important because these miracles that Jesus did are what differentiate him between Buddha and all of these great teachers that I can't think of at the moment, and all of these philosophers and all of these gods and messiahs, because it gives credence, it gives power to his words by proving, I'm not normal. I didn't come here to fit into your box of normal. Nothing about what you and I say we believe as Christians is normal. It's not. And if you're in the room and you're already disinterested in falling asleep, gotcha. Christians, right? You already have made this become normal. Me too, right? If the times I'm not preaching and there's people up here, and it doesn't matter how good a preacher or other, my mind can start to wonder, or I can start to, you know, get distracted, or I think about other things. But in those moments, what I'm really doing is I'm no longer believing that God himself is in this room. That this is all very real. That it's not a philosophy. That it's not a way of life. That it's not good advice. Everything we say we believe, I want to start with the Christians. You've already said, I believe that God was made flesh, a man died and rose from the dead, not as a ghost. Remember Thomas? He said to Thomas, Thomas essentially said, I don't believe it's you. And he goes, here, touch this wound. Touch me. He probably thought he was hallucinating, right? That's what he probably thought. Why am I telling you this? Because my point of this story and where I'm going to try to go today, and I'm talking to me, and if this fits you, great. Then there's at least two people in the room. Most of us live our life sleepwalking. You're sleepwalking. I'm sleepwalking. We're going through the motions of life because we're too afraid to believe there's more to life. And even if we believe there's more to life, or we believe that my marriage can be better, or I believe that my finances can be better, or I believe that, you know, life can be more than just wake up, eat, sleep, rinse, repeat. Even if I think it could be, I'm too afraid to ask God to move into it. And in this room, a lot of you right now are going to go, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'm going to call you out, just like me, because one, you don't believe he's going to, you don't believe he's willing, or you don't believe he can. Or, this is the one I hear all the time. Even Christians that have been Christians for, you know, longer than I've been alive will be like, well, you know, God's got more important things to do. And I'm like, how small have we made him? God doesn't want me to pray about the fact that, you know, I'd like to have a cup of coffee. That sounds silly, right? Until you realize when your kids ask you for a plastic duck that costs $5, that is, you know they're going to be disinterested in 24 hours, you still give it to them. Why? Because it's not about the value of the duck. It's about the value that it has in their life. It's about the fact that it lets them know you love them. I love you enough, not just to feed you and clothe you, but to give you a little duck, right? To give you the things that don't matter. Well, they do, though. They do matter. We're too afraid to believe in the impossible and be let down. And before I even get into walking on water, I'm talking about we don't ask for a promotion. You don't ask for God to move into your finances. You don't ask God to make your husband, you know, hey, I want my husband to like me. I'd like my wife to be, you know, kind. I wish I had friends. I wish this depression would go away, right? Notice what I just said, wish. We'll wish it all day long. But when it comes to asking God to move in, and what I've learned for myself is sometimes subconsciously, I make an excuse for God, and I've said this many times, but it's deep, and I think you guys don't listen. I pretty much am like, well, I don't want him to let me down, so I won't even ask. He needs my help. We're just too afraid to believe in the impossible. Some of you in this room aren't even listening now. Do you know why? Because you have accepted, I just need to get through this because this is what God wants of me. And I've got to be here and I've got to move on and I've got meal time in a minute and I've got to make sure to vacuum and whatever else you got to do. Because that's your life. I want to sit and think about what you've allowed your life to be. We talked about this last week in men's group, right? I don't know if anyone remembers the number. If Zach was in here, he would. We talked about just sleep. How much of our life do we sleep away? Does anybody remember that from men's group? We did the math. 23 years of your life is spent asleep. I wonder how much of it's spent worrying. I wonder how much of it's spent sitting in nothingness. I get this picture all the time, and I've met people like this. And I'm not judging them because that's me, but for the grace of God. Have you seen people who spent their whole life? This is hard because, you know, I have family that I wonder if they watch stuff, you know, but there's sad, sad stories. I have a relative that's not in this state, in case they're watching, sorry. But it's a sad story, a very close relative, particularly my mom. Lived his whole life, and his whole life he wrestled with alcoholism. His whole life. Got married later in life because, you know, he was an alcoholic. I mean, couldn't keep a job because he was alcoholic. You know, relationships fell apart because he was an alcoholic. Essentially stayed connected to his mom his whole life because he was an alcoholic, right? And we're talking about got sick, got a disease caused by the alcoholism, and literally they told him, all you have to do, you'll live a normal life, is you're going to have to take this medicine and you're going to have to stop drinking. And they found his body in his trailer where he'd been alone for however many days because he couldn't stop drinking. Do you think when he took that last drink, he told himself, I want this? I'm not judging his life. What I'm saying is, how does someone get there? You think at 10 years old, he said, someday I want to be and pass away alone in a trailer, doing the one thing they told me if I do will kill me? Do you think that? You think, a lot of times we tend to think people like they're just idiots. That's what we think. Don't lie. You think they're dumb people. Until you realize you do it too in little ways. So do I. How does that happen? Because most likely they had moments in their life where they woke up and said, no, I'm going to change my life. And maybe they did. They did. And they woke up and said, you know, I'm going to stop and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Or then they're sitting in there and I don't know, but that picture makes me so sad. Of sitting there looking. Did he have a moment where he looked and said, I don't want to do this, but this is it? This is all I have? We settle for this is all there is in a lot of ways. Now, yours may not be that dramatic because some of you have gotten to the point where you're like, I'll find a safe place, right? As though safe is where life is. If safe was where life is, right, people wouldn't jump out of airplanes with pieces of fabric on their back and enjoy it, which, by the way, I can never imagine, but some of you could. Yeah, all right, there you go. You got a broken arm, man. I don't look at it like... Hope there's not connection there. Yeah, I'm just kidding. No, that's good though, right? Here's the thing, and I've done this. Guys, listen. What I'm about to tell you right now is the truth. And it's going to sound dramatic because it is. 10 years ago, I keep saying 10, it just stays 10 in my head. But it's like 10 or 11 years ago, my entire life, I screwed up. I screwed up big time. I sinned. And I changed the entire trajectory of my life. The entire trajectory of my life. It's not the last time I sinned, by the way. It's just one of those big ones that changes the trajectory of your life. And I lost almost everything. And in fact, some of you in this room, and that's okay. You still are, your view of me is colored by what I did then. And that's okay. Because it's not okay, it sucks. But that's a consequence of things. After that happened, I got my, you know, it's funny how things happen. After this, you know, it's just, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but I lost a lot of friends, thought I had friends that weren't there, people you think care about you turn on you. You know, then whenever you make a mistake, you ever notice how people say every good thing that person did was actually evil, right? Every good thing you've ever done was actually evil because you did this thing. It's not the point. The point is not them. Then I got my back hurt. And when I say back hurt, I mean I literally couldn't walk. This is legitimate. Could not take a step, would fall to the ground for, that lasted for 3 or 4 months. Gained 60 pounds because, you know, I used to actually be slim and trim, at least in my own mind. Of course, back then you don't think it, but then you look back in time and you go, huh, it's a lot better shape than I thought I was. And turns out if you don't walk at all and keep eating, that food goes somewhere. That's not even my point. It got to a point when I looked around in my life at that point, you know, I ended up losing my job and couldn't get, and then I'm hurt and I don't have any money and I don't have a job and I don't have, you know, my friends and family. And at the same time, my family kind of shattered even more, right? And I'm the oldest, and somehow if you're the oldest in this room, it's not healthy, but sometimes we tend to take weight on us that's not ours to take. The sad part of this story that I just told you is not that. The sad part is that I gave up. And I wasted, hear me, and this is the truth, and I'm haunted by this. My friends in the room, the guys from men's group, I've said this. I wasted 3 to 5 years of my life. I wasted it. Did that mean I just sat? No, you know, I went and got a job again. I did all that, but I sat and just waited for something to happen. And I cried, and I got angry, and I didn't move, and my lack of movement affected other people's lives. Because all I could see was the hole that I was in. And listen to me, I know you think it's dramatic. I wasted 3 to 5 years of my life. Because I couldn't see a way out. And so I settled for what I was in. I was a believer. I'd already seen God do a miracle of starting this church, right? Which, that's a whole different story. You know, I always say, the reason I don't tell you guys is I always think you've all heard it, and we've grown so much that's not true, but I don't want to annoy, you know, Dave and Nema by telling the same story all day, or, you know, Jill, she's angry, right? But it's an incredible miracle, but my point is I'd even seen a miracle. God had already saved me. He had transformed me. He had done miraculous things, but in the middle of that hole, and the thing is when I climbed back out of it, I had been so discouraged and so hurt and so broken by the circumstance that happened that I stopped seeing any hope in life and stopped just living my life kind of committed to duty. Does that make sense? I got to get up. I got to take care of my bills. I got to take care of my things, you know, and just move. Did God stop using me? No. No, I got to preach it later, right? When I, you know, all these kind of things. But my personal life was just, and you want to know the sad truth? I still do that. And I think about, you know, marriage. And I did, you know, I always tell people I got married later too. And you know, had a family and all that stuff later. And some of it was intentional because I wanted to do things, right? I'll get to that. I mean, I wanted to do things as though that's not the most important thing you can do. I'm not regretting it, but my point is also, like, how many, like, I love, anybody that knows me, I'm that corny weirdo that you wouldn't think. It's only cool if you knew me before when I was like, I love kids, but eh. And now I'm like, being a dad's the greatest thing in the world. If I could go back in time, I'd have 15, right? But I won't be able to. And part of that is because I believed that where I was at was where I would always be. Some of you, you've been in a marriage that's a terrible marriage, and you've held on because you're dutiful. And that's a beautiful thing, and God honors that. But you think that's all He has for you? Is the duty of it? And we think that, don't we? Because you've tried everything. You've tried loving her. You've tried loving him. You've tried respect and honor. You've read the books. I don't know, man. I could go real crazy. You bought the prayer cards or whatever people do. You've looked, you know, through it, a wishing well. You've done all the things. But at the end of the day, maybe you're not even miserable anymore. But sometimes apathy is worse than misery. You know what apathy means? It just means, eh. I don't have a feeling either way. There's single guys in the room who are lonely and sad, and ladies too, and you're like giving up hope, and so what do you do? What do? You stop, I want a good life, and I want this picture, but it's not realistic, so you do a couple things. You either get sad, get depressed, give up, distract yourself, sit in a hole, or you go try to make it happen. Notice you still haven't gone to God and said, can you send me a man that loves me for more than my body? Can you send me a man that loves Jesus and wants to help me lead, get closer to him? Well, that's not going to come, Lord. Okay, so I must settle for this one. Ladies, it's the same for you. I mean, guys, it's the same for you. Or finances. I'm going to say this again. You ready? You guy in the blanket. You ready for this? A guy walked on water. You believe that? Do you? Sometimes you don't, but you do for the most part because you're a Christian, right? You believe it happened? You think he can't give you $5? I already messed with you, Todd. This is prosperity gospel. No, that's dumb. I didn't say if you pray for $1 million, you'd get $1 million because I'm not a millionaire. But what I am telling you is you think he can't take care of you financially? Why? Because it's evil for you to ask? My daughter doesn't know what money is, but she likes it. And she will say sometimes, Daddy, give me, you know, she's done this before, quarter, I don't know what she calls them, pennies, or can I want that. And I go, yeah, sure, here. And I give her something that has real value to me, and I know that she has no concept of it, but I give it to her because I delight in giving my daughter good gifts. Amen. I love amen. So this is not shaming that, because I know her. I love it, because it's encouraging, and lets me know at least one person's listening. But I will say this, don't get caught up, let's apply to ourselves. Because sometimes we'll amen God, and I'll believe he could do it in your life, but he won't do it in mine. And I don't want to look at the ways that I've given up. Giving up also looks like trying to do it on your own. That's pretty exhausting. See, that's why I fell in that hole and wasted time, because I'm a go-getter, I make things happen, and I got to a point where it was like, you can't make your way out of this. We settle for current circumstances being forever circumstances. I'm talking to you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Have you settled for current circumstances being forever circumstances? I'll live with that dude, even though he won't marry me. Because this is the best I can get. And maybe someday he will if I please him enough. And at least I'm not alone. Or vice versa. I'm just giving something that's a little more tangible, right? You think God can't bring you a good man? You think God can't change the heart of the man you're with? So what do? We settle for current circumstances. What do we do? We settle for current circumstances being forever circumstances. We exist, survive, counting minutes that turn into hours, that turn into days, that turn into months, that turn into years, that turn into decades. He's not here today, but I know he'd be okay with me telling you this. If you ever you guys know Greg, he's an elder here at the church, great guy, right? Everybody, if you've met Greg, now you love Greg. But by his own estimation, he'll tell you he wandered in the desert for 20 years after he knew Jesus. He'll tell you that. He just settled for go to work, get up, eat, drink, sleep, right? And now you wouldn't know it, because God's moved in his life when he started to believe and to move. Existing, surviving, counting minutes that turn into hours, that turn into days, months, years. Ask yourself, if the you from 5 years ago saw you now, would they be happy or sad? Not circumstances, right? They might look at you and, like, there's a difference between, like, I feel bad for them because some things are out of your control. I'm saying, would they be happy or sad for what you've settled for? 10 years ago? 20, 30, 40, 50? I'm not talking about things that you can't change, right? See, that's the problem. We get a bad marriage, and instead of trusting that if we're faithful and follow God and ask him that he can change our marriage, we just exchange marriages. And I'm not shaming people that have divorced. God is a God of restoration and grace, right, and beautiful things. And if you're, you know, remarried now or you're not, there's no shame in that. But my point is that we do that with everything. Come back to this. I do that. And either we don't believe God can move in it because it's too big. It's too big. It's too big for God, Jill. Walked on water, it was too big for him. Or, you ready for this? Or you think it's too small. Do you think it's too small? Before that whole, like, 10 years ago thing, okay, if you were here last week when Dave burned me terribly, I'm about to take a shot back at Dave here when he said I'm not as good athlete as I think I am. Crazy story. So I wanted to be an NFL football player. That's what I wanted to be. So I'm going to go ahead and get your giggles out of the way, okay? But I wanted to do that. And I, you know, my story's crazy. You know, played in high school, everything fell apart, and didn't, you know, got offers to play in college and didn't do that because I put my life on other things, blah, blah, blah. We come up to this time when I'm working, and the reason I'm telling you this is because it's a small thing. And I started playing semi-pro, which is exactly what it sounds like. Okay, if you've, it's real football, but it's a rowdy, wild place because, you know, it's just a crazy place. And I started playing, and weirdly enough, like, in the midst of God using me and let me be in ministry and let me finish college and all these things, I hadn't played in college, I just played here, and I started, you know, I got seen by a scout. It's a long, crazy story. There was a scout, kind of a regional scout for Chicago, the Chicago Slaughter, all right? Before you get bored, I'll connect it to you. Any Bears fans here? No one? Raise your hand if you're a Bears fan. Nice. Walter Payton's son was on this team. Yeah. So I get scouted by this team at a stinking game, and then in Battle Creek, Michigan, played against a running back that played at Iowa, right? Big-time guy, got in trouble. And this scout happens to be at this game, sees me, and invites me to come to this tryout for an arena football team in Chicago. Now, there's a guy, this, like I said, I can't explain it all, semi-pro is a weird world, but there's these two coaches that sort of wanted to get their foot, like semi-pro coaches, that want to get their foot in the door in like pro. So they kind of like decided they were going to be sort of our like agents, me, and then these other like five guys got invited, okay? So there's six of us. The other guy that is similar to me, 6'7", he's a quarterback. So all of us were supposed to go to Chicago this one day on a Saturday. And I get a call from one of these guys who has a connection, one of these coaches, and he says the night before. This is the night before. By the way, I've already had doubts. I'm like, this is a joke. I'm going to be a laughing stock. Would you think that maybe? No? Jared Payton. This is one guy gets it, right? This guy played at the U, and then I'm me, right? So I get a call from this guy, and he says, hey, listen, man, I want to talk to you real quick. And I'm like, oh, he's going to give me encouragement. He's like, listen, the odds of you making it pretty much not going to happen, all right? Of all the people going, and he really thought this was encouraging. He goes, of all the people going, you are the least, you're not going to make it, all right? Even though I was the best, whatever. If they're watching, sorry, guys. Anyway, this is silly because I'm going to go for no reason. This is dumb, and I wasn't going to go. And I prayed about it, and I said, God, if you want me to go, you know, calm my heart. I want to go, but I need you to make a way here because help me not make a fool of myself, okay? Next day comes, you're not going to believe this, a blizzard hits. This is a true story. So then I wake up and go, this is clearly my sign. I'm not supposed to go, right? Because I've got to drive from here to Chicago. Prayed again, and it's a long story. I had a friend that's like, I'll drive you. They had a car that was four-wheel drive, and I'm like, nah. Okay, I go. You go up to this thing. There's over 200 people at this tryout. Over 200 people. You got to run through all the combine stuff. Then if, you know, essentially what happens is you kind of get this ticket. And you're like, okay, you got to come back to another one. Like, if you play at one of the big schools, you get signed immediately. You don't have to do all this. Here's your ticket. Jared Payton's there, by the way. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, That meant nothing. But it was, if you were in my head, you would know. It was a crazy time. Then I have to come back for a second one. Every time is scarier, and I'm like, Lord, what are you going to do, right? I get all the way to the end, and I'm bragging a little bit, but mainly to show you how God moves. And out of 200 people, by the way, you think any of the 6'4 dudes made it? No. Out of 200 people, I was one of five that made it at the end, five of them. That's not bragging on me, because my prayer was, Lord, help me to play the best of my ability, because I'm going to need to. You get what I'm saying? And I did it. Now, here's the crazy thing. This is not where the story ends. It doesn't end in like, yeah. I didn't even end up playing for the team that year. What ended up happening is, even though I made the team, a big-time college player decided he wanted to play, and it's like, you got to get rid of someone. Let's get rid of the scrub that didn't play, right? But these crazy things happen. I had a coach come up to me when I was there, and he's like, hey, where'd you play? Notre Dame or something? You know, because he knew where I was from, and I'm like, no. You know, and I just told him the name of my college and let him believe they had a football team. My point is, why would God answer that prayer, get me through all of that, and if I didn't even end up with, I know I didn't end up playing in other leagues, but I didn't even end up making that team. Why? Because that began to be a sign, right? That filled me with a confidence to be able to take steps in other areas of my life that were scary. You get what I mean? It helped me understand that not everyone's going to believe that what you want to do, what you want to change, what you want to become is realistic. But that doesn't mean that just because they say it's not realistic, that it's not possible. And I can see that in my life. But I had to ask. And I believe that. It's small-ish. I'll tie it to a second here. We're getting through. 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, Daisy was having her poopy issues. I think I'm gonna get canceled for poopy. Three. Okay. My daughter was not, you know, again, first time dad with a baby. I get made fun of. She's gonna make fun of me for this probably. I tend to think everything's a big deal. Okay? She didn't poop. Why are you nodding, Hannah? Anyway, she didn't poop for like 6 days, right? Other than, you know, Mandy will try to make me feel better, but like, she did a little bit, and I'm like, did she? Right? She hadn't used the bathroom, and she's uncomfortable. And if you know my daughter, she's really energetic. So I start to, like, panic, right, internally. I don't tell you that. I'm like, we got to do something. So we're trying all this stuff, all these natural things. Some of you gave me advice. I don't eat pumpkin pie or something. I don't remember what you told me. But we tried everything in the world, and nothing happened. And this is so ridiculous, but I'm going to make a point. I think you'll know what it is. Todd, you're like, I thought we were talking about what's possible. Now you're talking about poop. Stay with me. In the middle, we went to the doctor. The doctor's like, it's not a big deal. That was at, like, day three. Three more days pass, I tell her, at what point do we say this is a big deal regardless of what the doctor said? All right? Her little belly's like, I was here at the church, I think it was on, I don't remember, Thursday, and I went to the bathroom in our filthy urinal, it's not filthy, that implies you didn't clean it, it's just old. I'm sitting there, and I have this weird moment where I say, God, you told me that I can come to you in all things. You told me in all prayers and petitions to come to you. I said this out loud, and I said, Father, help my daughter poop, right? Help her poop. Help her to, like, I'm worried. Just help her to poop. I'm not joking you. Within 30 minutes, she texts me and goes, Daisy just had the biggest poop she's ever had. Now, in the room, you can go, well, Todd, clearly at some point she's going to poop, but I didn't believe that. I was starting to get genuinely worried, right? Even some of you that had at one point been like, it's okay, started to go, ooh, I hope it's not a blockage. You shouldn't have told me that. Then I'm going, what's that? Then she pooped again that day, like four times. Like, oh, great. But then it happened again. 3 days later, you know, she goes, another 3 days, I sit again, and I go, God, I feel stupid. I'm like, I've already asked you this once. It's some small thing. Help my daughter go to the bathroom, please. Help her get. 10 minutes later, no joke, she texts me again and goes, yeah, Daisy just used the bathroom again. I go, all right, God, I get it. Some of us in the room, including me, would say, that's too small. But not to God. Right? Not to God. Now, to you, you might go, this is crazy. A little girl pooping did more for my faith than the football story, even though that was a long time ago. And my point of telling you is I had the football story a long time ago, and I still end up walking away going, God doesn't care about these things, or he's not going to move in these things, or he can't move in these things, right? I don't say that internally, but that's kind of how I live. That's how you live. You don't ask him because you don't think he can. I'm sorry. He spun the world into existence. I think he can handle your gas money, right? When we go back to the story of Peter, Peter saw the miracles. He saw him feed. Right before this, he had fed the thousands, right? With like a couple fish and a loaf, and all of a sudden, he saw that. And yet, right, so he was inspired in some way, and yet, here is Jesus walking on water, and Peter does, you know, we insult Peter a lot, because we always talk about he denied Christ. But Peter's the one, out of all the people in the scared boat that said, if you are who you say you are, if you're him, tell me to come to you. Everyone in this room, don't act like you'd have done it. I would have been Peter. No, you wouldn't, because I would have gone, well, that's not realistic. It's interesting that he thought, he could have just said, tell me what my middle name is, right? Tell me some, he said, no, do something impossible. Let me walk in the impossible with you. And Jesus didn't shame him, didn't say, how dare you? He just said, come on. You want to come out here? You want to see the impossible? You want to see the miraculous? Come on. My point today is not even to talk about the fact that he sank, although I think that's pretty powerful too, right? Sometimes you look around, you've all heard the story, circumstances get in the way, but at the end of the day, no matter how the story ended, you have little faith, he walked on water. He still denied Christ later. We have short memories. But what I want to focus on is, Peter did something that most of us would be like, well, God doesn't care. He won't answer. He'll be offended. He'll be mad at me. Some of you have this weird theology that you've learned from your own families that he will be mad at you for asking. Don't you say you don't. How do I know that? Me too. Right? It's selfish. No. Peter asked something wild because he wanted it, and then he followed Jesus, not by going, yeah, I could do that someday. He walked. He walked. He didn't say, am I going to sprout wings and float? Am I going to turn into a ghost? Am I going to be a fish? Am I going to? No, he just said, I'm going to walk out there. He told me to come. I'm going to trust him. Soon after this, see if we can keep this together. You think I can keep this together, Tim? You think I can? He says, yeah. Well, he's giving me a thumbs up, Jill. Wish you'd give me a thumbs up, Jill. Anyway, Jesus, all right, jump down here and you got that John 6 section? Did I give that to you? Go ahead and throw that up. John 6, verse 26, right? Am I good? Who knew? I was right. So Jesus does this walking on water thing, and then we see here something crazy, because when he got to the other side, all the crowd saw him, but they knew that his disciples had come separately, and they're like, hey, how'd you get here? That's really what they said. They I don't know if they thought he teleported, like, how'd you get here? And this is what he says to them. Jesus answered, starting at verse 26, Jesus answered, truly I tell you, you were looking for me, not because you, like, you wanted me, not because you saw the signs. Sometimes we think because he said that no signs would be given, signs are bad. He says, you didn't want the signs, you didn't want the proof. Truly I tell you, you were looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You didn't want to walk in wonder. You didn't want to walk in the miraculous. You don't want to see the miraculous. You just want the end result that comes from the miraculous. The crazy thing about that is if I would have just been given a loaf, all the people, I wouldn't have known that Jesus only had one loaf. The only people that really knew the miracle were the people that got to walk it out with him and look down and go, there's two fish and one loaf. Isn't that crazy, Emily? Isn't that wild? Two fish, one loaf. She smiled a little. Yeah, we're getting better. Right? Two fish, one loaf, and then all of a sudden I'm feeding people. That was the miracle. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. This is where I want to get to. Listen to this. What a wild question this is. You ready, Jacob? Nice haircut. Listen to this. I keep saying I'm not going to say people's names, Jocelyn. I just keep doing it. What can we do to perform the works of God, they asked. That's pretty bold. Hey, what can we do to see these signs? How can we be a part of this? Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. I think this is so fascinating, the way this is coming, right? Like the order. Remember, God has sees the whole picture. And we're getting to follow in order. And this actually happens right after. So Jesus comes and walks on water. They start talking about signs. They probably don't even know what they're really talking about. And he says, you want to see the works of God? Do you want to see what I'm about? Do you want to, he says, God, they haven't put that together. Do you want to see what the Father's about? You want to see what God's up to? You want to be a part of his story? You in the room. You want to be a part of it? You want life to be more than just waking up, going to church, and telling yourself you're holy? You want to experience holy? You want to experience miraculous? You want to experience the works of God? Let me tell you how it doesn't happen. It's like a zombie. Halloween. Sleepwalking. Walking Dead. You like that, Trent? Men's group reference. It doesn't happen that way. He says, if you want to see, you have to believe in me. Now, some of you go, I do that. Belief is not a thought. The guy, I could beat Mandy all day. I could beat her, right? Stick with me. Just punch her and slap. Jacob's shocked. You've been here long enough. Here's my point. Kathy, I'm not really doing it. I'm just saying. Kathy's like, oh my. I said I could. If I was beating her, I could every day go in my head, go, I love her. I love her. I love her. That's not love. Whoever said it, that's a good point, right? I could tell myself that it's love, but the love is shown by what? My actions. You say you believe. We say we believe. You believe all this? Or do you follow it like a philosophy? And what I think is so powerful here is right after the walking on water, he's like he's talking to us. You want to see this stuff like he did? Right? Because that's what, do you ever do that? You go, God, why don't we see what happens in Acts? I know people say all the time, well, I believe you. Do you really want to see it? Because if you want to see it, you got to believe in me. And if you believe in me, that means you're going to do what I tell you. And if you do what I tell you, that means you're going to do what? You ready for this, Emily? You're going to follow me. What about when it hurts? Will you trust me? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even if I have to take you through the valley of the shadow of death, will you trust me? Will you believe me? Will you trust that this is the way we had to go? I always tell people that all the time. It's like, you know, it's Christian to go, I wouldn't trade what happened in my life for anything. I would be a liar to tell you that. I would 100% trade it, but I wouldn't trade where I am if that meant I had to go through that. You get what I'm saying? The fact that you're still here, no matter how much you screwed up, messed up, the stupid things you've done, how much does he love you? He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on your marriage, your finances. A lot of times you've given up. I've given up. We let the world tell us what's possible. Jesus says, you want to see? You want to see someone walk on water? That's what he's saying to us, right, in a way. You want to see it? You want to see the miraculous? You want to see the works of God? You got to believe in the one he sent. And belief is shown by your actions and by stepping. Jesus says, you want to perform the works of God. You want to be a part of this wild, crazy, exciting thing that God is doing. You want to see signs and wonders. You want to be a wonder walker instead of a sleepwalker. You want to walk in wonders. You have to believe it. And that means you got to do something that's real hard to do. You got to follow me. Sometimes? No, because sometimes you're walking. You know, we see the story of the disciples. He wasn't walking on water every second. You get what I'm saying? Jocelyn, I don't know. You get what I'm saying? Kind of? Okay. Right? He's not spending all of his time. Sometimes it's going to be sleeping on the ground. Jesus even says that. They're like, we want to be with you wherever we're at. And he goes, you don't get it. I don't even have a home. I'm going to be laying on the ground. Will you really follow me? Sometimes you got to go through the dry places. Sometimes you got to wander in the desert to eat manna, right? Sometimes you got to be hungry to get something from God, not because he's punishing you, making you earn it, because we got to come to the end of ourselves for him to go, okay, now watch what I can do and watch what I will do for those that I love. If it's not resonating with you, you're a zombie. I'm going to say it. I don't even care. Courtney, you believe that? You're a zombie. Not you. You're not, but other people, right? You want to see it, you have to believe it. Stay with me. A couple verses later, John chapter 10. I bring this up all the time. Remember, this is all coming in order. Same conversation. John 10:10. Jesus says this. He gives this story about, hey, a bunch of people are coming and telling you they know how to get to God. They know how to get to life. And they pretend to be good and they lead you, but it's not real. They don't come the right way. They don't come the way that God told you the Messiah was going to come. They don't come the way that God said it was going to be. And listen to what he says. He goes, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He calls them thieves. We'll come to that. What's a thief? I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I love the other version that says, I have come to give you life and give it to the full. Hello, sir. Right, can I have some water? Shh. Overflowing. Yes, that means eternal life, but it doesn't just mean that. What does Jesus say here in the same, right? We're building something. He says, I'm the one who has the key to full life. I'm the one that has the key to full life. You don't have the key to full life. You don't know. Your mama doesn't know. Your grandma doesn't know. She might know who has it, but she don't know. He don't know. Your job doesn't have it. Your money doesn't have it. The bodies don't have it. Your circumstances don't have it. Your reputation doesn't have it. None of that has it. He says, you want life to the full, you got to come to the guy who gives life, to the only one that knows what life is. You're not getting it. I'm the one who has the key to full life, and that's what I'm offering you. Anyone or anything else offering you life is a liar and a thief. Why is it a thief? Because it will end up taking from you, not giving to you. And listen, if you're an alcoholic, you know the story I told you? Those first couple drinks are fun. Maybe good things happen. What happens long term? You're a drug addict, that first high is good. By the end, what is it taking from you? Relationships, what does it take from you? That moment might be fun, but what does it take from you? Most of us are sleepwalking. We're going through the motions of life because we're too afraid to ask and step. We're too afraid to believe in the impossible. You don't actually believe that. Because if you did, if I did, why do I think, hey, there's that look. You give me that look, Ben. You know what I say when you give me that look. Right? Ben, I love Ben. So what is the story? The miraculous happens. Jesus says, you want to see the miraculous? It's with me. What happens when you're with me? I'm going to give you life. If life is doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you might not be following. It might not be trusting. And most importantly, you're probably not asking. Well, why do I have to ask? Better question. Why don't you want to? Because you're fearful or prideful. Period. That's it. Those are your two options. You're fearful or prideful. You got it under control, right? I thought so too. I was rocking the high life, man. I was succeeding. People liked me, right? Going back, I was pretty strong, fit, until it wasn't. And I love Jesus. You know, that's the crazy thing. I love Jesus. It can be a subtle thing to slowly put your faith off of him and onto you. I got all this bread. You start to think you made the bread. So why don't you ask? You don't think he's going to come through? You don't think he cares? Luke 12:12. Listen to this. We got that? No? No, we don't. That's okay. It's a surprise one for you. Unless I look and see that it was on there. Okay, well, I'm not 12:12. 12:32. You got to trust me, man. 12:32. I sometimes have number dyslexia or something, even though there's not even one on there. All right, don't be afraid, little flock. He's talking to us. Because your Father, I love this verse, Gina. I love this verse. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. That's so good. He doesn't hear. He delights to give you the kingdom. What's the kingdom? I don't know if you know this. He owns everything. But it's going to be stuff from the kingdom. And if you've been here, you know that the Bible makes a comparison between the domain of darkness and the kingdom of God. The domain of darkness is the things that aren't good for you. The kingdom is only what? Love, light, peace, joy, all those beautiful things. You think, he ain't going to give you anything from the domain? My daughter can right now, and she probably would, can go, hey, Daddy, can I have that rattlesnake? She sees things all the time. She goes, you get me rattlesnake? She does this. Because in her mind, the rattlesnake will be your friend. Do you think I'm going to buy her a rattlesnake? No. He was like, no, you wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And Jesus makes the same comparison. And we always think it's the other way around. Who, if their son, right, ask, and I may get them mixed up, right? What is it? The one is a rock. Ask for bread, and he's going to give him a rock. Or ask for a fish, and gives him a snake. Who's going to do that? Sometimes we think it means like the switcheroo. What if it's the other way around? Who's going to say, why if my son asks for a snake, I'm not going to give him a snake. I'm not going to give her a rattlesnake. I'm going to give her something that's good for her. And I do that. No, honey, I'm not going to get you a rattlesnake, but I'll get you a stuffed snake, even though I think that would be creepy, right? I will do that. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom.
This is boring. Give me the 5 steps to life. Why isn't there a holy anointing?
I gotta stop being so sarcastic. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. And the holy anointing's on the Word of God, so it's right here. Ready for another verse? I'm gonna tie this all together. You're getting rapid fire. Are you sleeping? You think that, hey, is this David? You're a guy who's mean and nice. You think, is this boring? You think this is good? Okay, the people that are mean, just stay quiet. Okay, listen. 1 John 5:14-15. Listen to this. We got that? Okay. This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, that's pretty cool. Let's stop there. He hears you. So he's not listening. Yes, he is. He hears you. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. How can John make that promise? Jericho, how do you think that is? You know why? Because he was there when Jesus said the other stuff. He was there when Jesus said, I delight to give you the kingdom. If you ask me to throw that mountain in the sea, right? And it, again, his will, I'll do it. I can do that. I'm not limited by what you say is possible. I'm only going to be limited by what's good for you. Did you hear that? Jacob, I don't think you got that. Listen to this. It's because I like Jacob. His parents are here. They're going to yell at me. I love him. You know that. This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears whatever we ask. We know that we have what we've asked him. I love how the Bible fits because John, who wrote 1 John, was walking with Jesus. He was there. He said, I was there when we asked him to feed these people, and he did it. I was there when Peter said, walk on water, and I did it. Or he did it. I was there when he said he delights to give us the kingdom. I was there when he said he'll give us life to the full, and I've seen it in my life. But here's the kicker. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That goes back to what I said earlier. Sometimes he always answers, but he may not give you exactly what you want because it isn't good for you. Now, this is where we get arrogant and mean. Well, how do I know? You don't get to know. You just get to ask and trust that whatever he gives you when you ask is either that because it's good or better. That's hard for someone like me because if you're like me, you'll start to go, well, what's the point then? He's never going to give me what I want. No. You only don't get what you want if you don't ask. You only don't get what you want because what you really want in that situation is good to come from it, right? God, move in my marriage. God, move in my finances. Help me with this fight. Like, right? Why wouldn't he do that? That's why I like the poop story. It's such a ridiculous story, but I know that God did that. My daughter was good for it, but from my faith. He goes, this whole time you've been giving her prune juice and apple pie, I don't know whatever stuff I did, right? And massaging her belly because someone told you to do that, and that's all good stuff, but you never came and asked me. All you had to do was ask. Right? Jaylee, you don't like that sound? She immediately woke back. What? I got a lot of verses, but I have a point. Listen to this. James 4:2. You desire and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Sorry. You have something you want, you don't have it. So what do? You start killing each other, hating each other, coveting. You can't, and you still can't get it. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You think that's real? What a crazy thing. Hey, you guy, money guy. Why'd you look at me? Right? Do you ask? Do you actually ask? Or do you say, when I work for good enough, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. No, do you ask? Why do we limit ourselves? Why do we limit God? I do this so I can say that, Eli. I can be mean because I'm mean to myself. That's not the rule. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. That means he moves in both. We've got to ask. There's a humility in that. Many of us, here we go. Many of us live in a sleepwalking state. Hey, 14-year-old, that's you too. I don't have any friends. Have you asked God to give you friends? Or are you just trying to be cool enough to have friends? Make me cool. Is that really what you want? No, you want what comes from that. You want friends, real friends. Do you ask? You mess your life up. You want God to move it. You think your dreams are over. Have you settled for the life you have, or do you still trust that he gave you those dreams for a reason? And sometimes the pursuit of them, right, he answers it in that. I really think if God hadn't let me go to the stupid football and play a year in the arena and realize that, you know, yeah, this is cool, but like life's, I may still be mopey and sad that I didn't make it instead of recognizing like I didn't really want what I thought I wanted, even if I, you know, was good enough to have it, which I wasn't, but you get what I mean. Many of us live in a sleepwalking state. That's not to say we're miserable. You're not miserable. You're not even unhappy most of the time. But every now and then, when the baby's asleep, right, when work's off, when the phone's off, and that little spot before you fall asleep, that moment between sleep and wake, you go, is this it? I better turn my phone back on so I don't think about it anymore. Versus taking that energy and saying, I say I believe a man was, why are you looking away? A man was raised from the dead, right? Why believe a man was raised from the dead? I think he might be able to speak life into my situation, to move into my situation, depression. I'm not saying that God, like, do you ask? We'll trust some doctor you met for 10 minutes over the God of the universe. I don't try, and you don't ask. And sometimes I love this. It goes back to the story I said, you know, before. Like sometimes we'll ask him, and then he'll remind us of something he's already said. I just want my marriage to be better. And he's like, okay, I'll handle that. But while I'm doing that, why don't you work on being a submissive and supportive and loving wife? Because even if I change him and you don't make yours 100, you're not gonna be good. Same way, right? Oh, if my wife was just likable, right? My wife was this. She doesn't respect me. Hey, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you follow me and start living your life with integrity and character, and I'll handle the respect. So I'm going to give you real fast stuff today, get you out of here. Sleepwalkers in here, man. I can't handle it. It's not, most of us live in a sleepwalking state. It's not to say we're miserable and even unhappy, but it feels like we're missing something. I don't care if you're rich and everything's going well. You know this applies to you. It's not to say we're miserable and even unhappy, but it feels like we're missing something or we're missing out on something. That's because we're made for more than existing. Stop waiting for somebody to give you the life, right, that your heart and your soul is longing for. That's what happens a lot of times when a guy, you know, I hear this all the time. Some of the guys I've mentored over the years, not specifically, they're like, oh, I just want a girl so bad. A lot of times when I really start mentoring a guy, the first thing I have to get him to do is like, you got to let go of that, man. Not because that's a bad desire, but that's not life. Because I rarely hear him say, man, I want to be a good husband. No, they just want someone to give them that feeling of life. when God says, I'm the one that gives you life. So this is what I'm going to give you, kind of a sort of math. We're building logic here. God has told us to ask for what we need, yeah? We agree on that? He's told us to believe that it'll be done for us when we ask, yeah? How do we show we believe? We walk like we believe it internally, and then we take action as though it's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Okay. God has promised us life to the full, yeah? Jesus said that. God has promised to give us good. Has promised to give good things to his children, yeah? Okay. You're his child, right? Co-heir with Christ. We all agree on that. Do I even need to read the verse to you, right? What does he say? You're his child, right? Those he saved, you're a co-heir with Christ. He has given a right to become children of God. Those who believe in his name are children of God. Guess who's the children? You. He's promised to give you life to the full. He likes to give good things to his children. He's promised to give it. What else? He delights in giving us the kingdom. He delights in giving you good gifts. Do you believe that? Do you think he actually gets joyful when you ask him for a cupcake? That's silly, right? She lied, but sometimes you want a cupcake. You know what would be cool? What if you lived your life, just everything in life is like, you know what, I really want a Snickers bar. I have no idea if there's going to be one, Lord. Give me a Snickers bar today. That sounds silly. Why? That's real life you're living with God. Is it any different than Peter going, can I walk on water with you? No, it's not. It's cooler, right? It's cooler looking. That's what he wants. Why? Because it shows you trust him. You trust his character. You trust his power. You believe he is who he said he is. Let's keep going. And that he delights to give us the kingdom, that he will work out all things for the good of those who believe. We read that, right? Yes? That means what he's going to give you is going to be good for you. Did you know that? That God only gives you what's good for you. Now listen, this is where you get weird if you're like me and you're a jaded, negative person sometimes. Cancer. Disease, sickness. That's hard. I don't have an answer for you. And then I think about that life is not limited to this. Eternity is a long time. I don't know the good that gets worked out in those situations, but I believe it, and I've seen it. I've seen peace in the life of a guy who's told he's got a little bit of live. I've seen him be on mission. I've seen his faith. I've seen his testimony in my life years later. And guess what? He ain't crying now. He's not sad. He'll work out all things good those believe. We're invited into the story. Do you know that? You're invited into the story. What does that mean? The crazy part is God could save us and go, hey, just chill, and at the end I'm going to do a lot of cool stuff, and then I'm going to fix it all. Instead, he says, hey, I'm about to go do some really cool stuff. You want to go see? Do you want to see? Or do you just want to go to church? If church is just this, that's why y'all don't come to church. Because it's just sitting in this thing, listening to this guy talk to me for an hour. That's stupid. Instead of going, the God of the universe, maybe using this hobo-ish weirdo to tell me something that's real and true. Nothing against hobos, right? We're invited into the story. What's the story? That God can and does the miraculous in the lives of his people, but we have to do our part. And what is our part? It's really simple. Jill, you're going to like this. Your part's not always preparing everything. It's not always fixing everything. Your part is saying, Daddy, can I go? Can I see it? Can you give it to me? Will you help me? You, person that doesn't want to listen, it makes you sad because you don't actually believe it's going to happen. Oh, gotcha. This is for you and me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Right? How's that end? Huh? What? Yeah. What happens at the very end? This is good. You all know it. Yeah, we can go on and on, right? Does it end bad? No. So here's what I'm going to leave you with. I'm going to leave you with a six-part little thing here. It's not going to be on the screen. You got to work for it, all right? Listen, number one, from this we can trust and rest. I gave you this little pair. God loves us deeply. He loves you. Listen, Hey, guy in the room, you're not a Christian, but you like him, and you're here because you believe, but you've given up on yourself because other people have given up on you, and so then you think God's given up on you, you're ready? He hasn't. He hasn't, and he won't. The only way you're going to get stuck where you're at, the only way you're going to be what the other people tell you you are, and the people that say you're only going to ever be this, the only way that happens is if you keep trying yourself and you let them be the ones who tell you what reality is and what's possible. What does he say? Right? His power is made perfect through our weakness. You've heard it before. Your test becomes your testimony. Your mistakes give him glory because he gets to go, everybody said this guy was down and out. This girl was done for. She messed up. She's not usable. Look what I'm going to do for those who trust me. Do you believe that? Will you believe it? That's going to be hard, though, because you got to let go of the things that have been giving you that little bit of semblance of life, right? It'll make you feel good for the short term. You got to be willing to let it go, and you got to go to him. God loves us so deeply. Number two, God wants the ultimate good for us. Right quick, Manny. God wants the ultimate good for us. Maybe we can start putting this out later. We could do that. I'm not putting that on Tim, so I don't get yelled at. Tim, we got to put that out. God responds to the asking of his children. I don't think you're getting it. Jocelyn, you getting it? So much deeper my voice sounded there. Do you hear me? Do you believe it? You got to start asking. You got to believe it. Ask him. I have no idea about her personal life. I'm just saying that because she's nice and has a nice jacket on. God responds to the asking of his children. Number four, God will answer our prayers. Sad girl, sad guy. He will answer your prayers. Hey, guy in the room that's like, I don't really believe, I kind of do. Why don't you ask him? You know why you don't ask him? I think you're afraid he might answer. Help my unbelief, Lord. You got the courage to ask that? Don't ask it if you don't want it. Sometimes it's through really cool stuff. Sometimes it's through like, ooh, Mufasa, you know, Lion King. God will answer our prayers. He never ignores us. He never, ever, ever ignores us. I already read you the verse. He hears, so he's not ignoring. And if he hears you, he's going to answer. He will always give us, number five. So number four was God will always answer our prayers. He never ignores us. Number five, he will always give us what's good for us. He will always give you what's good for us. That even as I say it to you, I struggle to believe it. But that's the beauty. Because faith doesn't mean I got 100% have no doubts. It just means that my belief is stronger than my doubts. It's hard when the people around you don't believe too, isn't it? Some of you in this room, I give you a hug. I just don't know you well enough. Because you're like me and you came from a world where nobody knows him but you. And you're just trying to figure this thing out. And you're trying to follow, and you're seeing him move, and nobody gets it, so you can't really talk about it sometimes. But you know he's real, and you know he's moving, and he sees you, and he loves you, and he's proud of you. And if you keep doing it, he's going to use you in the lives of those people. But you got to go to him in those moments of doubt. You in the room willing to ask that, to help your unbelief? He will always give us what's good for us, but that doesn't mean he'll always give us our exact desires. Why? Because it has to be filtered through what's good for us. You understand? I was with a girl at age 20 that all I wanted in the world was to be with that girl. I was like, God, I did the whole deal thing. If you give me this girl, I'll always follow you. Right? I love it. Some of you are like, I did that. And the rest of you are like, I've never done that. Yeah, you have. And you know what's crazy? And I don't mean any insult to her. I would be absolutely miserable if I was with her. Miserable. I don't care. Miserable. Okay? I mean, I'd be miserable and I wouldn't be here. Now, I would. Because God knew what and saw what I couldn't see. How amazing is it that we can ask God freely and trust that he will only give us good? Ready? This is good. We don't have to stress over the decision. We can just say, Lord, help me make the decision. That's what it is. Lord, which way do I go? We don't have to stress on whether you should ask. All we have to stress over, and we don't even have to stress on whether what we ask for, is it okay, Lord? Is this the right thing? All we got to do is ask, and the cool part is let go, and he will decide what's good and what isn't. How amazing is that if you really think about it? The pressure's off. You just ask and don't worry about it. I'm going to answer, and the answer will be good. I want this to go from churchy to reality for you. I want you to walk out of here not saying that sounds good. I want you to walk out of here saying I'm going to walk that way. I'm going to ask. We don't have to stress over the decision or whether what we've asked for is okay or whether it's good. All you have to do is ask your Father. I told you before, people are sleepwalking. Sleepwalking can happen. We're really good at that. The world's good at helping us do that. But wonder walking, walking in wonders and miracles, real life, life, that feeling that there's something more than this is it, real life only happens with Jesus. Does that mean every day is a high? No. We're in a fallen world, but real life only happens with Jesus. Ask, believe, walk, and trust. That's it. That's life. That's life. You want to walk on water? Ask. Hey, I'm not gonna limit him. Ask. You want your marriage to be better? Ask. You want to have friends? Ask. You want to stop being lonely? Ask. You want a deeper faith? Ask. You want a church community? Ask. You want to find a place where you belong? Ask. But then you got to do the rest of it. Walk. Believe. Trust. Because sometimes, like, I'm lonely. God, church people hurt me. This is me. I did that. So I'm going to stop going to church. And he's like, that was not what I told you to do. Whether that's here or somewhere else. So here's what I'm saying, guys. Be bold in your asking. She's going to come play some music. I'm going to make this fast. Be bold in your asking. If your marriage is struggling, ask God to move in it. If you're struggling with being lonely, ask God to bring you friends to help your loneliness. And sometimes, you know, one of the miracles I didn't tell you about, and you got to ask me privately, I had an experience one time where I had no people, but I wasn't lonely. I'm telling you. Like, I knew God was there. That sounds hokey unless you've had it happen. Because I asked him. You're depressed? Ask him. Lord, help me with this. I don't know how he's going to do it. Sometimes it's through medicine and doctors. Sometimes it's through a supernatural, boom, it's done. You're struggling with finances? Ask him for money. Be specific. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay rent this week. Help me. Will you show me? You're struggling with a health issue? Lord, help me. I know that's scary. Ask him. I don't know how he's going to answer, but he'll answer and it's going to be good. Need your baby to poop? Go ahead and ask. You need to poop? Go ahead and ask. Whatever you do. Guys, we got to live. Part of the reason that my life is I've committed my life to something that I let become normal instead of go, people walked on water. I mean, there's so many miracles that are historically documented that we just don't even think about. And there's miracles in my own life. And I just told you a couple of the little weird ones. I didn't even tell you the crazy ones. And I forget them, right? And it's crazy because if I ask, I'd probably see them all the time. Miracles aren't always showy and flashy. Sometimes they're just bread when I'm hungry. I don't know where you're at today, but if you're in this room and it feels like life is and you're stuck and you don't know where to go, have you asked? Have you actually asked and believed? Have you given up control and said, Lord, move in this? If you're in the room and you don't know Jesus and you know whether you do or don't, I'm not talking about you like him. I'm not talking about he's cool. I'm not talking about you've prayed when you're in trouble or in a big situation. I'm saying, do you believe? Does he know you? And if he doesn't, listen, I was you. Here's the truth. We all mess up and make mistakes. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God created everything beautifully. He said, there's one rule. I'm God, you're not. I'll tell you what right, wrong is. And we rejected that. We've gone our own way. And because of that, the Bible says death and sin have entered the world. And it says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. All the struggles and the bad things that happen here is nothing compared to the judgment that's coming. The beauty is that God had a way. When we couldn't get to him, we couldn't clean ourselves up enough, he invaded this earth, Jesus Christ. God made flesh. He existed, guys. He performed miracles to prove he is who he said he was. And then he died on the cross for those wages that we deserve. Our sin, our death, our brokenness, our shame. He takes it on the cross and he trades you. He'll trade you all of your shame and your sin and your brokenness. He says, I will give you the benefits of my perfect life. It'll be like you lived my life. That's how the Father will see you. The Bible says the second half of that's so beautiful, right? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's free, but you have to ask. The Bible says in Romans that if you confess with your lips, you got to say it and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. You can't think it, right? Well, what about people that are paralyzed? You hear it all the time. Well, you're not that. You got words, you can talk, say it, and you got to believe it. Because there's humility to come forward to the altar and say, Lord, or at your seat, I'm sorry, forgive me, save me, change my life. I don't get it all. You're not going to be perfect. Life's not going to always be easier, but it will be better. Whatever you do, don't leave the same as you came in. You want to see the miraculous? You got to ask. You want to walk in wonder? Ask. You want to be transformed and saved for eternity and know that no one and no thing can take you from the hands of God? Then don't leave and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Make today count. Whatever you do, don't leave the same as you came in, because if you do, you're choosing to.